Well, it's lovely to be able to finally sort of see you again in person after quite an extended period of time. But the Lord has been faithful and kept us going, hasn't he? And it's not been easy, but it's wonderful that we have a God that doesn't change, even though everything seems to change sometimes. We come to God and we hear from him in his word, and that is a wonderful thing, that we can trust what he says. He's the God who never lies. So in the theme of looking at some of the women of the Bible and lessons we can learn from them, this morning we come to Hannah. And in this passage, particularly if you look at chapter 1 as well, we haven't read all of it, but as you glance at chapter 1, you'll see that Hannah was a woman who suffered greatly, and the heart of that suffering was not being able to have children. That was a real burden to her, and this was her real trial. And that was her trial, but the reality is that all of us here today have at some point or other missed out on something and really just felt burdened by that. It's been a real challenge. I'm not just talking about like missing a bus. I'm talking about real trials. So we may miss out on health. We may miss out on money that's essential. We may miss out on the job that we want. We may miss out on marriage or miss out on family like Hannah. But the reality is that every human being at some stage or another will miss out on something. And even those people in society that we think of as rich and having everything, even they will have things that they have missed out on. Money can't buy you everything. It can do certain things, but it won't stop us from missing out. The reality is this world is full of people that miss out in different ways at different times. But what we're looking at in Hannah is someone who dealt with that in a way that was admirable, and dealt with that missing out in a way that we should, when we face situations that we don't find easy. There are many names in the Bible for Christians, believers, saints, disciples, those that are in Christ, and then in terms of sort of more theological terms, sometimes theologians will refer to Christians as regenerate or elect. But although there are these many different words that can be used to describe a Christian, the word used in this passage is servant. Hannah, the servant of God. A servant of God, a faithful servant of God, she's referred to she refers to God's people as faithful servants in the passage that we read earlier on. And so, in looking at that, I'd like us just to think about how servants of the Lord suffer, how they speak to God, and how they rejoice in the Lord. So, servants of the Lord, how in suffering they speak to the Lord and rejoice in the Lord. So the first characteristic of the servant of the Lord is the one that we find most difficult to see. It is suffer. The first thing the servants of the Lord do is to suffer. That is how this passage begins. That's how 1 Samuel begins, with a woman suffering greatly. Hannah, think about her circumstances. She's in a polygamous marriage. She can't have children. Then she is persecuted by her husband's other wife because she can't have children. So in addition to the actual burden and pain of not being able to have these children that she wants, she is then persecuted for that very thing. By someone who seems to have a much easier time. And Hannah, although she's a godly woman, she loves God, and I'm using her as an example of someone who suffers well, who suffers in a way that Christians should suffer. Bringing that to God and honouring him in the suffering. But despite that, we see that she weeps. She weeps. And so, although we believe in a God that comforts us in suffering, being a Christian is in no sense a kind of escape clause to suffering. That somehow we can have this view that somehow if we just manage to get into the presence of God, or if we just manage to have a close enough walk with God, then all our trials will be easy and all our pains will go away. And there's a sense in which God does comfort us in our suffering, but he doesn't completely take it away. Hannah wept. And if you want absolute proof that godly people weep, then, of course, the shortest verse in the Bible, isn't it? It's Jesus wept. When Lazarus died, Jesus wept. He was sad. He was weeping because Lazarus had died. And he didn't say, oh, well, you know, I'm just full of joy because I'm so holy. No, he didn't say that. No, Jesus had real emotion too. And so we need to remember that Christians suffer. And I think in this church, we don't tend to embrace, and in my church as well, the teaching that somehow God always wants us to be healthy and wealthy. That's not something that I've been taught in churches I've been involved with. That is the prosperity gospel that teaches that somehow Christians are always to be rich and always to be wealthy. And that's just nonsense. It's just not in the Bible at all. But I think there can be another sort of version of that, which is a bit more subtle, which is kind of like, well, I'm suffering, so I shouldn't really be feeling so sad because I should really be rejoicing in the Lord. And yes, there should be rejoicing in the Lord, but it doesn't mean that we never weep. There are seasons, aren't there? There are times to be weeping and there are times to be rejoicing. And in the Christian life, yes, we rejoice in the Lord always, but at the same time, there are times when it is time to weep and it is not wrong to weep, just like Hannah weeps in these verses. So Hannah suffered, but she did the right thing with that suffering. She brought it to God. She brought it directly to God, and that is just a wonderful thing that servants of God, children of God, can do. They can bring all their cares directly to God, not just to some priest who's going to intercede for them. But even in the Old Testament here, Hannah brings her trouble. Even in the time where there were priests, Hannah still brings her need directly to God himself. And God listens. And God answers her. We see, don't we, when politicians are trying to sort of make themselves look good, often they'll go around and they'll be talking to the public, won't they? They'll be talking to the everyday person, the Prime Minister or the President or whoever it might be. They are speaking with the everyday people to chat over their problems and issues that they face, to show that they care about the sort of everyday person. And if a person manages to speak to the Prime Minister, if they're not too sort of like, you know, wanting to shout at the Prime Minister, then they might well just feel a bit of a sense, this is quite cool, I get to speak to my leader, I get to speak to my MP or whatever it might be. How much greater is it to be able to speak to God himself who controls all things? It's an honour to speak to a leader, a political leader, but how much greater is it to speak to the God that really is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? This is what it says in verse 10 of chapter 1. It says, in her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all his days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. So we see Hannah, the servant of God, in prayer, that she's real with God. She shows emotion. She weeps in prayer. She doesn't try to sort of put on a brave face. She is emotional in prayer. And I think sometimes in this country, we find it hard to show emotion in prayer, don't we? It's not very, very English to sort of just be weeping in prayer. And yet, here Hannah weeps in prayer and God listens. And we see that Hannah, in her prayer, it's not a self-centered prayer. It's not just about her needs, but it is about the kingdom of God. It is about serving God. See how she promises there that if she's to have this child, he's going to be dedicated to God. And this is not Hannah kind of trying to bribe God in a way. Because you can look at it from a perspective. She says, well, if you give me this, then, you know, I'll give him to you. And it can kind of look a bit like that she's trying to kind of manipulate God. She's trying to bribe God by saying, you know, okay, I'll give him to you. But that's not the correct way to read this. Hannah has a godly heart, and all along she is wanting a child so that the child can serve God, because she loves God so much. And part of why she is weeping so much is because she longs to have a son who can serve God, who can build his kingdom, who can preach the word of God. She's got that on her heart. She really longs for this, to have a son, not just for her own pleasure, not just for the sake of it, but a son who can be an instrument in the hand of God. And that is partly why she weeps. And so she is seeking the kingdom of God. It was Jesus that said, wasn't it, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given unto you. And this is Hannah. She loves God. She goes up to the temple. She weeps before God. And God answers. He gives her the son that she asks for. And then we see this incredible response to the Lord answering the prayer. And that is Hannah's joy in the Lord, her rejoicing in the Lord. So we've seen her suffering, you know, her lack of a child, her persecution. We've seen her speaking to God, weeping before God, bringing her needs and concerns to the Almighty God who can answer prayer. And finally, we see that when the answer is given, Hannah continues to honour the Lord. How is Hannah able to rejoice in the Lord, even when this son whom she's prayed for so long, she gives him back to the Lord, doesn't she? She gives him to the priesthood. She hands him over. It says he was after he was weaned. It's a very young toddler, very young baby. She's prayed for him for so long, and then she loses him to give him to Eli the priest so that he can serve. In our circumstances, we think she might be a bit resentful. We think she might be a bit upset. She might say, well, I did promise to give this child to the Lord. I did promise that he would be a servant of God. But I've changed my mind, you know. I mean, God gave me this child. I should probably just keep the child and forget the vow, the pledge that I made before God. She could have easily just changed her mind, but she didn't. She gave that child to the priest. And what's incredible is we don't see a kind of a lamentation, a mournful display of sadness in chapter 2 that we just read. But we see great joy in God at what had happened. And that's how we know that Hannah all along had the right motives. Because if she'd been trying to kind of trick the Lord foolishly and bribe the Lord into giving her a child, and then in the end she'd have not been happy. She'd have said, oh, I don't like this. I don't really want to lose my son. But no, it's not only does she hand over her son, and no doubt there's still sadness in her at losing this son in the same way that any human would. But it's that joy is still there because this son has come that she never was able to have. God has given him, God has given her her son. And now that son is going to serve God in the priesthood. And eventually, as we know in Samuel, to be a prophet and to be used mightily by God. And so she rejoices even in this moment when her son is given over to the service of the Lord. This is what verse 2 says this, chapter 2, verse 1. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord my God. In the Lord my horn is lifted high, my mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God." So Hannah is rejoicing in the Lord. She's not just looking at the earthly circumstances and seeing that this toddler who she's just really become attached to and really begun to love and be close to, he's got to go away. She's not thinking about that. She's thinking about the kingdom of God. She's seeing that this victory that God has given her, in giving her a son that can serve God, that this is a victory for the kingdom of God. And it's a picture of what is to come. It's a picture of the victory that God is going to give for all his people over their enemy. This is what she says, and where she takes it further in this hymn of praise. She who was barren has borne 7 children, but she who has had many sons pines away. So the enemies, their fortunes are reversed. And God's people are blessed. There is victory. Where there's been suffering, God always blesses. And in the Christian walk and in the Christian life, when we ask God for something and it doesn't seem to come, it's always a question of timing. Yes, it's true that sometimes we ask for things in the wrong spirit and selfishly, and we don't get those because God loves us and he wouldn't give us things that would not be a blessing to us. But ultimately, when he doesn't heal us, when he doesn't give us the money that we feel we need, when he doesn't provide in the way that we want him to, he always does answer eventually. And the ultimate way in which he will answer is in heaven, isn't it? When everything is restored, when suffering is completely removed, when we have a kind of a multitude of brothers and sisters and family in heaven, that is a place where suffering will cease. But for now, we don't always get the answers we want. We don't always get instant feedback from God when we pray. But if we look on the bigger perspective, we see that God is a God who is always victorious. So I may not be healed from the sickness that I pray for healing from, but I can still praise God that my spiritual sickness has been healed. My sin has been taken away, and the devil can do nothing to stop that. I may not have a family or have children. I may not get married or whatever that might be. But we have family, so many family in the kingdom of God and in the church. We have so much to be thankful for in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we see the perspective of the kingdom, and we see in this verse, in these verses in chapter 2, Hannah is looking forward ultimately to Jesus coming. This is what it says in verse 10. "The Most High will thunder from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth." That judge can also mean rule. "He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." So she's looking forward to God sending a just king who's going to rule over the world. And this isn't just referring to the kingdom of Israel, but of course it's referring to the ultimate Messiah, the King, Jesus Christ, who judges and rules the earth, Jesus, our Saviour. Because of the cross of Jesus Christ, because Jesus came and died for us, we can come to God, we can speak to God, we can know all of our sins forgiven. What a wonderful thing it is that we have a God who hears our prayers. We have a God who has sent Jesus ultimately to be the King who gives us victory over the worst of enemies, the devil, and over our sin, over death, over everything. Jesus, when he died on the cross, when he rose from the dead, He gave us a certain future. He gave us a certain hope that in all circumstances, Jesus would be victorious. What a wonderful thing that is. There is always hope for the Christian, even when we just feel utterly helpless, when we feel utterly like there's no way out of our situation. There is always hope in Jesus Christ, because there's always heaven, there's always eternity, and eternity is so much bigger than this life. Sometimes life seems slow when we're suffering. It seems like it's going to never end. But that will be as nothing when we go into the eternal kingdom and Jesus rules justly and perfectly over all. What a wonderful thing that is. So we see a wonderful picture from Hannah of how a servant of God suffers and yet still gives God glory. And yes, she had a miraculous deliverance, and yet she still turns that miraculous deliverance and gives it all back to God and dedicates her son Samuel to him. So when God answers our prayers, when we feel we have a victory, when we feel we have a breakthrough, let's not forget to, like Hannah, give that back to the Lord and offer back to him. Serve him. Remember that it's all for his glory. It's not for us. If we keep too wrapped up in our own self, then we won't see the bigger picture and we won't be able to rejoice in what God is doing, even with suffering in the world. Well, thank the Lord for Hannah, and thank the Lord for his Holy Spirit that he has poured out so we can all pray to God and know him ourselves through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's sing together then our final song, which is Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. And this is really a prayer for a deeper walk with the Lord, which we all need to be constantly longing for in our hearts. So let's pray this as we sing it together. Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling. All thy faithful mercies crown. Let's